Orders. My name is Andrew Mundus. Good evening, everyone. We have enough members of our commission here for the quorum. So thank you all for making it fit. So I'd like to do a call to order and the roll call. Christina, or who?
You'll
be there. Great. Chris Burke.
Colin Ogilvie. Cynthia Ayala. Dale Calvert.
Here.
Leanne Hernandez.
Here.
Ian Johnson.
Here.
Jesse Lugo.
Here.
John Aiken.
Here.
Paul Smith.
Here.
At six, then we have quorum. Great. Thank you so much. All right. Second item on the agenda is approval of last meeting's minutes. Excuse me. Anyone refute them? Yeah. Thank you. Jesse? A second?
Second.
Thank you, Dan. All right. We need to do a roll call on that one?
Or
just a. All in favor, say aye.
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 Not in favor? I think so. All right, so we're going to go ahead and do a call to the audience. I have three cards here. Pat Weedoff, Eric King, and an M. Wade Wheat. Is that one word? Okay. And I have a question just of order. Mr. Wade Wheat has a video that he'd like to show us of his street. Is that admissible, or can we review that separately? How would you advise that?
I'm going to leave it to the chair. We don't have a way to put it on the screen, or I could share it with the commission members following the meeting.
Okay. Would you feel comfortable with us sharing after this meeting, Mr. Whitney?
Sure.
Okay.
I'd be happy to get an email of you, so if you could email it to me, I'll make sure that
it's absolutely wonderful.
And then,
I did send it to Amanda.
Oh, okay. If Amanda's got.
Got it. Okay. To you as well, sir.
Oh, that would be fabulous.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
So, great. So, just so commissioners are aware that please review that video after the meeting. Yeah. All right. So, I would invite Pat Weedoff to, we have 10 minutes total. So, I would ask that each of you take 3 minutes. So,
Thank you. Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Pat Weedoff, and I'm the representing Arvista Del Rio Residents Association. Board of Directors. On behalf of our president, Eric Daniels, who could not be here this evening, I want to thank you for prioritizing and paving improvements in our Vista Del Rio neighborhood. The roadway improvement project has begun with prep work, and in mid-October, crews are scheduled to begin paving. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Weedoff. Appreciate it. All right. Next up, we have Eric King. Eric, you have 3 minutes.
Our street on 39th Street is in such bad repair that it needs repaved right away. I drive down the surrounding neighborhoods, and I'm watching other neighborhoods, which the streets are. I wish our streets were in that condition, and they're getting tore up to the dirt and repaved, resurfaced. And I don't understand why I hear that our neighborhood's slated for 3 years down the road, but it can't wait that long, and there must be some sort of way to look at the street and say, yeah, it is in bad shape. We're going to put you ahead in front of these other neighborhoods that are getting streets repaved that are in really good shape. I've sent countless pictures in when the website allows you to do 5 pictures at once, and now that looks like the website's changed, you're going to do 1 at a time, and I get these auto responses back that are frustrating. And I just wanted to hear it from people here that what's going on, why is our street being overlooked? We also need speed bumps down there. We've had, since I've lived there, we've had 2 vehicles overturned from speeding and reckless driving. And one of them went through your yard. So I'm just at a loss why I'm seeing all these other neighborhoods getting repaved. And I now know what to look for when I see the crews, the trucks, whatever. I pull into the neighborhoods and look, and I see the streets are in way better shape than ours. So, I mean, when I first moved in there was a giant pothole in front of my street. Every morning, every afternoon, I take the loose chunks of asphalt and throw them back in the hole. That got patched. The pothole crews come, and now they just come and look, and they go somewhere else. They go further down. It's just like we're on kind of like a dirt 50-50. A lot of dirt on that street. The asphalt's gone. Nothing's happening.
That's, yeah. I know we can't discuss your particular issue. I just wanted clarification. 39th and what? Is it 39?
39th Street and Prudence area.
Prudence, okay. Thank you.
Between Prudence and Mark, okay. South of Golf Links.
Anything else? Just have one minute. No? Okay. Thank you so much, Eric. Appreciate it. All right. And Mr. Wade,
I'm kind of the, not by age, but I'm kind of the senior resident of the neighborhood. I moved into 7622 East 39th Street in 1978. So I'm a 40-whatever-year, pushing 50-year resident. I've been in construction all my life, and we worked in that neighborhood back in when it was a parade of homes. 38th, 39th, and Lurleen was a parade of homes back in 1968. That's when Eddie Chesson was in construction and before he went with Barbette, et cetera, et cetera. So this is the original asphalt, without exaggeration, that was laid in 1968. It is so dilapidated, it is beyond repair. Like I say, and it's been chip sealed once about 15 years ago. That is the only actual progression in maintaining the road other than patching potholes in this duration of time. The street, like I say, it's beyond. It is so bad that bicyclists in the neighborhood, it's too dangerous to ride down the street. They literally ride on the sidewalk. And there's a lot of people my age and older that walk the neighborhood, so therefore you're moving out of the way of the bicycles that are trying to walk, you know, trying to ride and so on and so forth. And I don't blame them because it's unsafe to be riding in the street. You know, the pothole guy, I talked to the supervisor, and they've been pretty prompt. Anytime that I've called about potholes and stuff, they've been pretty prompt about filling them up. But now we've got this street is so bad, I can't even come to work. It's worse than any four-wheel drive terrain that I've ever been on, and I've been on a lot. But anyway, he did admit when I asked him point blank, I says, I know you do this day in and day out. Where does this street fit with all the other streets that you're having to repair? He said, to be honest with you, 39th from Prudence to Mark is the worst street that I've had to do work on. So I'm just basically begging, pleading. Amanda and I are on first name basis now. We've been in communication so much. That's why we're here. And so I'm actually looking for a start date of some sort of when something can be done. Eric mentioned speed bumps. I know that's another issue, and I realize, if I'm not mistaken, we have to pony up some money for those speed bumps if that's the case. I don't know why. Lurleen goes through from Pantano all the way to Prudence, untouched. There's a stop sign at Mark. But for whatever reason, the majority of the traffic in our neighborhood goes down 39th Street. So if we were able to put some speed bumps in and slow people down a little bit, you know, and Eric is correct. I had a car roll through my front yard, and pretty bizarre. It was a very freak accident, a 15-year-old that was doing about 70 miles an hour down the street. So, but anyway, I appreciate your time, your effort, and your patience of listening to me. Anything that you could do to, you know, pick up the production or whatever, put us a little further up the line would sure be great. I used to live in Tierra del Sol. You're now paving Tierra del Sol, and that's the third time that Tierra del Sol, to my knowledge, has been paved since I moved out of Tierra del Sol. So it's been paved three times since the construction of 39th Street. I get it. You got priorities. You may not drive the neighborhoods. You may not actually put an eyeball to and drive down these streets to prioritize who deserves to come first. But you've been on the back burner for a long time. I sure would appreciate your help. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you all for coming. Appreciate it. Okay. I don't see any other calls. Is that accurate? All right. Well, thank you to all of our neighbors who came in and had a conversation with us. And, you know, per the rules, we can't respond directly, but I appreciate the advocacy.
Thank you.
Thank you all for coming. Okay. Fourth item on our agenda today is Proposition 101. Mr. DeGroote.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the IOAC, give you an update on where we stand with the delivery of Proposition 101. This is the, as you know, the program that took place for 5 years prior to the adoption of the Prop 411 program. We're still going through the delivery of those projects, and I'm going to give you an update on where we stand with this. Let's see. Okay, starting with the residential streets, we have packages 1 and 3 through 8 complete. There were 8 total projects or packages that were done. Package 2 was paved back in 2020, but during that period of time, there was a concrete shortage in the local area, the region, and as a result, the sidewalk ramps or the curb access ramps were deferred. There were basically 3 neighborhoods within Package 2. One was the West Side neighborhoods over just south of Star Pass Boulevard over surrounding Choya High School. The next one was in Julia Keene neighborhood, the first section of Julia Keene that was paved. And then the last one was in the Elvira neighborhood, which is surrounded by Barrio Nepal, which is, basically west of 12, between 12th and Interstate 19, south of Valencia Road. The Elvira ramps are now complete. There were 59 of them. We had KENG, who was the constructor of Barrio Nepal. We did that under a contract that we wrote with them. We currently have the 58 ramps under construction in the West Side neighborhood being done by the contractor that did Star Pass Boulevard. So Star Pass Boulevard is now finishing up, and they made their concrete into the West Side neighborhood. The total value of that contract, or the two contracts together, is $796,000. We have a budget of a little over $1 million, so we're in good shape there. This is a map of the curb access ramps that were in the Elvira neighborhood, and this is showing you where the ones are on the west side. So there's Choya High School right there to the west of it, and then to the south and east of that neighborhood. So basically, the streets between San Juan and Star Pass and Greasewood and Mission Road, those that have sidewalks on them. I mentioned the Julia Keene neighborhood, the first one that we had done. That neighborhood does not have any sidewalks in it, so there were no ramps that were installed. Moving on to the arterial street network, there's a shot of Fifth Street. Arterial package number 4, that's a rehabilitation in the downtown area. It has some downtown area streets as well as a piece that goes through the Barrio Nepal neighborhood. The Barrio Nepal neighborhood, we had South 6th Avenue as a part of that. There were waterline improvements that were required, and those waterline improvements are now under contract. So we're looking at probably about 9 months worth of, or six months worth of work at least. And they are currently estimating the completion date for that water work in March. And we'll follow that with the repaving of South 6th Avenue between Valencia and Los Reales. So that'll wrap up that package. Arterial package 5, that's 5th Street. Hunter Construction is beginning their water work in October, and then we'll follow that work with pavement work in the spring. Package 9 and 11, that's a preservation package, basically fog sealing. That one's had some fits and starts. We started the work last fall, ended up creating a lot of congestion in the commercial areas during the holiday season, so we put it on hold. Plus, the weather was turning inclement, the time it takes for that product to cure took longer, so the delays were greater and the closures were longer. We put that on hold. We then resumed in May, but we had an early monsoon onset, so that work didn't get completed. We expect to complete it in October. Right now, what remains are just basically some fill in the gaps. They did all of the mainline work, but where they had intersections, they skipped over them, and that's where they're going to have to come back and complete in October.
Can you remind me of the location?
That is all over town, and okay. I may have a map in here in a moment. Let me see. No, I think I took the map out.
Okay.
But it is citywide.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're driving down the street and you see the pavement dark, and then all of a sudden it's light again through an intersection, that's likely an intersection that was skipped.
Okay.
And I can certainly send out to the commission the map that has we have a map for Package 9 and a map for Package 11. Package 10, which is downtown streets, we have a lot of water modifications that are needed on that. We have finished Cushing, with the exception of the curb access ramps, but streets such as Stone is under construction right now. They're putting in the cycle track on it. There's also work on Council Street that's forthcoming. So actually, most of the streets in the downtown area will get a mill and fill in this. Most of the Pennington and like. I can provide you a map with that as well if that's something of interest.
You can ask. For sure. Do you mind if I? Okay, I live downtown, so I'm intimate with the streets that you're talking about here. So just to be clear, I mean, the water mods are funded?
Yes.
Okay.
Whenever we call them water mods, it's basically our work triggers mandatory work on the part of the city water department. So they have an obligation to do it, but it takes time. And so that's what's held up the completion of this particular program is wrapping up those water mods.
Do you have a sense of when the paving might start?
We expect that this will likely continue paving into 2026. So we will be seeing work beginning early next calendar year, but there are a number of waterline projects that will be going on in the downtown area. One of the things we have to be mindful of is activities in the downtown areas and what closures can we do when we have events downtown. So that's something that we have to look at windows of opportunity for that construction work.
Okay, thanks.
So, as I mentioned, it's going to be work in multiple projects. We've got Church, Alameda, and then, as I mentioned, the Stone Cycle Track. And that should be finished prior to Tucson Meet Yourself. That was one of those events that we were making certain that we could do or execute prior to. In fact, the crews that are working on Stone right now are working 24/7.
Wow.
So. The Package 12, which is Silverbell, that's moving along very well. It's been paved, and they're in adjustments. That also had water mods associated with it, and that is now wrapping up. Park Avenue, the water mods, the design package is currently being finalized, and Tucson Water will actually assume the management of that project. They also are managing Fifth Street with DTM assistance. One thing I want to kind of note or it's of interest is when we're looking at water modifications that are triggered by the road work oftentimes cost quite a bit more than the road work itself. I'll give you an example. If I'm going into a neighborhood and I'm doing a quarter of a square mile, the water mods associated with that will cost $3 million. The pavement work will be about $1 million. So we are putting a big burden on them financially when we trigger those kinds of activities.
I have a question.
Yeah.
For Silverbell, and I know that we're past this package, but I just have curiosity about between St. Mary's and Speedway. Is there any feasibility at all of getting that eventually redone as well? Or
that is a project that we hear a lot about. We don't have an identified source of funds for arterial work right now. That is one of the things that's being discussed. I know one of the things that the city was asking the RTA to consider was providing some level of funding for arterial road repaving. I believe that may be something that they're considering right now. I think Mr. Calvert might be more dialed into that than I am, but I know that that's something that...
The last I heard was the official stance from the RTA was it could not, a repaving project, just pure repaving project cannot be paid for by the RTA. It has to be repaving that's done because of other modifications to the street. Now, if, for instance, they went in and added a lane to the street and in that process, they needed to repave the entire roadway, then they can do that. Or if they're putting in right and left turn lanes and various things like that. That was the last opinion that we received, and it actually came from the attorneys when the Citizens Committee was meeting. The Citizens Committee has wrapped up their work, and so whether there's been some change since the Citizens Committee wrapped up their work, which was in April, I haven't heard. Anything like that. And to my knowledge, there's going to be no pure paving project. And the board then very stable voting against it. The city wanted it. The city voted for it. They weren't getting support from anybody else. And then they came up with this legal opinion. Having been an accountant for years, sometimes legal opinions are questioned, but
I think the watchword here is stay tuned, because it is a political process, and try to build support for a something that will be broadly supportable by the community in terms of the vote. So, but yeah, that's something that to your point though. We do not have a currently identified source of funds to do Archer road work.
Thank you.
This is the financial overview. The total amount of revenues that were collected to date, roughly $133 million for both the arterial program and the residential program. Residential program the residential program consists of about $51.2 million worth of revenue, and the arterial program is $76.8 million, and then there's interest that was allocated to both of those programs. To date, the expenditures amount to, prior to last year, $89.6 million. This year, about $606,000. We have a $33.8 million anticipated in terms of upcoming expenses to close out the program. Leaves basically a balance of a little over $9 million. Most of that is actually in the residential side, but it'll be coming to you once we get closer to concluding the arterial program. We will have a discussion about what to do with those remaining funds, assuming there are remaining funds. We know that we are, in addition to having some modest interest, we also have a lot of inflation that we're contending with. So where we actually end up with in terms of these arterial programs is still somewhat in doubt. These are we are carrying estimated costs at this point, but they are potentially in there are subject to change. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions on Prop 1.
just curious if the city has expressed any concerns about the fact that it continues.
You know, that is something that we are all very aware of and would like very much to be done with. But at this point in time, it's mostly waiting on water improvements to get executed. And once we have the water, the plans are ready to go. We need to have clearance from the utility before we can go in and build.
Spring theme for these last several meetings has been the delays or potential delays consequences of Tucson water, inadequate budget. I'm wondering if there's a means by which this could be elevated to something other than a discussion among us. Have this brought to city council's attention, or somebody's city manager, in a more specific way, because I am concerned that the delays that we're going to see in the future are going to start to multiply.
Yeah. Let me state this. At this point in time, at least as it relates to Prop 101, we are not having anybody saying they can't build because of financial constraints. Frankly, it's been mostly trying to get the work done, the design work done. And there are a lot of vacancies over at Tucson Water at present. And that's part of what the challenge is, I think. I know they have had a lot of retirements over the last year, and that has affected their delivery. But certainly we could convey to Tucson Water the concern of the commission about the lack of timeliness on the delivery of the water work.
And if I could just follow up, my sense would be that we need to elevate this beyond the discussion with Tucson Water. It needs to come to the attention of senior management, city manager. I'm sure it is at some level, but this commission is charged with the responsibility of making sure that we're delivering on time, and we're succeeding, but I think we're at risk, and I don't want to see that happen. Somebody send the right message to the right folks to see if this can't be addressed in a more robust way.
My concern, and of course, construction costs we know are always rising. My concern is that our money is basically fixed. We do have a $9 million cushion, and hopefully we don't go through that, but we are using that, and that's money that could be used for something else if we could expedite. I understand having owned a water company and the problems with putting in water lines, but we're getting really kind of out there into left field. So I would support a motion if we wanted to make a motion to have it at least brought to the attention of the fact that we're concerned about it.
Thank you. Ian, go ahead.
I was just going to say a couple, 3 months ago, I met with Kevin Dahl, who's my appointer, and Jim DeGroote was gracious enough to come and speak to us for over an hour with another representative of Tucson Water. Unfortunately, Kevin wasn't in the meeting. It was just his staff. So I know he's aware, but I support your idea that maybe this commission could write a letter to council, just raising a flag saying this is a recurring theme and we know that staff is aware of it, but you know, this maybe it's an important thing to actually just address them directly.
I will make that motion if you'll second.
I'll second that motion.
Could we ask staff to give us a...
Well, yeah, let's vote on that first. John,
can we chat more about it?
Yeah, absolutely. We can open it for discussion. Absolutely.
Sure.
That's it. I just wanted to also to say that I had a meeting with the city manager staff as well and brought up the same idea because that was brought to my attention. They asked what's going on with 101. So... said, to the best of my knowledge, we're waiting on water. And so they're aware as well. But yeah, go ahead, John.
I'm wondering if we can pause and reflect for a moment because this is the first meeting that we've expressed concern about timing of the issue. And Bruce is right. I mean, we obviously have some concerns, but what I don't want to do is start a firestorm without even giving you the opportunity to go talk to someone and say, hey, what's going on? You're right. We do have a responsibility and we are accountable to the people of Tucson, but I feel like we haven't followed some enough accountability before we jumped the measures of, you know, putting out a statement that says we're pissed or whatever. So.
Yeah.
I would say we're not sending that. That's not what the letter I'm imagining
okay.
sending. I think the letter we're imagining, and I would defer to Bruce as well, but just saying that we're aware this is an issue, that this has come up in several meetings, because, you know, I've already had a meeting with my council person, and I know Leanne has already met with the manager's office, so this isn't like a new thing. And also, I don't think the letter isn't going to say, like, you know, Jim and the other guys are messing up. They're not doing their job. You know, this is more just like, we're aware that this is a bigger issue, and, you know, maybe by addressing everyone, they can actually start to agendize it instead of just having these, you know, conversations in their individual ward offices. I think it's a great idea. I mean, it's not like they're going to, you know, pull money out of a cushion somewhere, sofa cushion, you know, I mean.
That's fair. Sure. No, and I want to be clear. My motion is not intended to inflame the situation. I think it's an effort to elevate this to a discussion, and is, I think, principally in the end, my guess will be, is that it's a discussion about the lack of long-term financial support for water projects. That unlike roads, there is no robust financial support for these efforts. And am I essentially capturing that?
You know, what I would say is a finite amount of money available, and the Tucson Water Department is an enterprise fund. So whatever they expend, they have to collect from the water customers. So, you know, they have a program. And a capital improvement program and a financing plan. And we are definitely affecting the project selection that they're able to make, because they're compelled to do these water mods. If we're having to do a project in an area where we are in conflict with their facilities.
And just to follow up on that, it's essentially that enterprise fund is inadequate to meet the need as it's now being revealed, frankly, as a consequence of road construction. So, I mean, that's the kind of thing that I think is helpful to elevate as a concern.
Dale and then John. Yeah. Go ahead.
And I just like this. This is a Me Too statement, mm-hmm. I'll be very honest. We're pissed off about this. We want you to know about this. You know, I mean, you know, as an accountant, as a lawyer, et cetera, we've written an informational notice to give people a heads up that this is going on and this is a problem. And that's all we're saying here is I don't want us to say somebody screwed up or anything, but that there is this problem that is that's delaying this project. And we want people to know that, and they can do with what they can do forward. I mean, there's talk about a new city, additional city sales tax to make up for the revenue that they're losing from the income tax cuts, the state income tax cuts a year or two ago. And, you know, they lost $200 million, like it was, something in that vicinity because of those cutbacks. And so whether there's money out there that can be brought from anyplace else to do this, but the whole point is really just to make people aware, not that it's even going to generate a solution, but to make sure everybody's aware that there are issues going on.
So then that brings it. Thank you for that, Dale. So that brings up two questions. And one, I am my opinion is this group then is operating on the assumption that nobody's aware of the problem. Is that a fair characterization, or do people know what's going on?
I know that staff is very aware, to be clear, I'm not hearing anything in terms of an inability to fund the modifications associated with Prop 101. It's a matter of getting the staff. I mean, we've had a succession of turnover within the staff over at Tucson Water. We have projects that were basically, fully designed. We get a new project manager, and they have a different opinion about how to do things. These kinds of things happen. And that has created some delays in some projects. I do have an ongoing, very close working relationship with the folks over at Tucson Water. Multiple times a week speaking with my colleagues over there and spend probably 5 hours a week at least in coordination efforts with Tucson Water folks. So it's ongoing and it is significant, but on 411 there is a financial issue and some timing associated with that. On 101 it is not.
So we would be memorializing a problem and telling them about a problem that they already know about.
Yeah, they're aware of the delays, and I know the new city manager is even when he was the deputy city manager was very aware of the amount of time it was taking to deliver 101 and has not been pleased about the delays. That said, we're plodding through it and making headway on these projects.
So my second follow-up question then is, the work that they are aware of that they are behind on is essentially work that is mandated because it is triggered by work that we're doing.
Yes.
So we're doing work and then we're yelling at them because they're behind on it. We're making them do work and then we're like, God damn it, you're behind on the work we're making you do.
Our efforts are definitely triggering a requirement that they make modifications. When we go in there and we say we need to do, grind off the pavement, they'll tell us, oh, gee, the pavement is, their water lines underneath them are, X number of years old or don't have enough cover or they've had a history of failures and want to have that replaced at the same time. So that's typically what we're looking at is replacements that are taking place as a result of our project. If we were to go forward with the project, then we're basically locking those failing water lines under new asphalt, and they will end up potentially having to make repairs if those things rupture. And I can tell you that our activities have caused waterline failures. I know on the 411 program, I can point to you where we've had to do repairs for water lines. The thing of it is, on some of these old water lines, it's not that the pipe is necessarily bad. In some cases it is, but it's usually the seals. And when you vibrate, with the vibrations associated with the heavy equipment processing the either the soil above or rolling the asphalt to get density on the asphalt, that will break loose these seals. And sometimes we don't even recognize that the leak has started for months after it's taken place. And then the leaks progressively get worse. So it's a tough one.
And just as a comment, from a utility standpoint, this is a unique situation because this is a utility that's owned by a government. As a former operator of a private water system, county, if I put a pipe underneath the road, I was under contractual obligation by going across their right-of-way, the benefit of going across their right-of-way, that I had within certain time constraints that I had to do whatever repairs, et cetera, or modifications that were needed to facilitate the road. So it's not an unheard of thing in utilities, but because this is a city-owned utility, a city-owned road, it's the dynamics are a little different than if it was a private.
That's not uncommon. I mean, even with the RTA, I know Metro Water was so affected by the RTA road program that they actually adopted an RTA road or an RTA tax as a part of their water bill because they had to cover the cost of the maintenance or the upgrades that were associated with that.
Go ahead, Ian.
I just have one last thing.
Yes, please.
I was going to say, I appreciate your concern about, like, crying fire in a theater. But at the same time, I mean, that's our job. You know, we're obligated to raise flags when we think that the mission of these, of 101 or 411 might be imperiled. And frankly, it's not our problem. You know, like, it's our job to say, like, we see a potential issue in the future. You know, it's, you know, there's a collision here happening where the timing of one process is not going to be sufficient to get us through, probably, maybe. And it's our job to let them know and to say, hey, you should be aware of this, because ultimately it's city council is going to have to solve it. You know, whether that's through a new tax, some sort of, or who knows what. I'm glad I don't have to figure that out. So anyway, I hope that the letter will reflect just sort of a general thing that, you know, we think this is a potential, an increasingly likely concern, you know, something that's going to cause trouble at some point soon.
Well, and I think I would like to point out as well is that 101 was supposed to be complete. I mean, we've moved on to 411, right? And so we're still administering 101. And so I think it's important for us to say we are aware that this is ongoing, and these are some of the reasons why, and let's collaborate and figure it out. So anybody else have any comments? Because I know we're running a little bit behind. We have a motion on the floor. Bruce, do you want to articulate the motion?
Restated if I can. Essentially, I'm not sure to whom it should be written, perhaps it's mayor and council, that we are generally aware of and have an increasing concern about the ability to plan and build into the future with road projects as a result of limitations within the water department with respect to their budget. And they're budgeting for major projects, which, because they're an enterprise entity, that they can't capitalize this? I mean, I'm struggling for a few words here, but I think essentially the message is, as I've stated it, that we want to bring this to their attention, and it needs major consideration and planning.
Thank you. And Ian, do you still second?
Still second.
Okay,
yeah.
Right. So let's take to a vote, unless anybody else has any comments. All right, let's vote.
I'll do a roll call.
Thank you.
Bruce Burke?
Yes.
Dale Calvert?
Yes.
Dan Hernandez?
Yes.
Ian Johnson?
Yes.
Jesse Lugo?
Yes.
John Aiken?
No.
Paul Smith?
Yes.
You have a majority.
Thank you so much. So, yeah, let's try to get everything scripted with staff, and then we'll review it at the next session.
Trust you.
All right, thank you.
Do the job of the chair.
All right.
Feel comfortable signing that letter.
All right. So staff, I'll need some help on that. Yeah.
Got it.
All right. Great. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. Moving forward. And we are a little bit behind, so I just wanted to make that okay. Thank you.
Ready for
Prop
411 update? Yes. Okay. All right. Moving on into Prop 411, better streets. These are the neighborhoods where we have pavement surfacing or resurfacing complete now. We started out with the Oak Flower neighborhood surface treatment. And 9th Avenue, 10th Avenue, 5th Street, 9th Street, Bike Boulevards. Those were completed last summer. And then moved into Jefferson Park West and Flowing Wells. Those were mill-and-fill projects. We did resurfacing in Harold Bell Wright Estates, Silvercroft Estates. We reconstructed Bonanza Avenue from Tanca Verde south towards the La Mariposa. We had Las Vistas Phase 1 reconstruction. That's a neighborhood in Ward 5, and that it was done with Tucson Water. We have done resurfacing in the Sam Hughes, Miramonte, Peter Howell neighborhoods. Things moving. So, along with Butte's neighborhood and Lakeside Park, those were all resurfacing projects. We repaved Escalante Road east of Harrison. The Doolin Fruitvale neighborhood was repaved. Hermosa Hills and Halcyon Acres was repaved. Coronado Heights, we've finished out the, that was actually started under Prop 101, and we finished the last of Coronado Heights. Rodeo Edition had reconstruction work in it. Sunset Via, we repaved. Jefferson Park East, we did some microsurface work on roadways that were in fair condition. Julia Keene, we repaved the balance of the neighborhood beyond what was done under 101. Barrio Nepal and Elvira neighborhoods have been repaved. We are now complete with the paving in Tierra del Sol. They're into completions there. Limberlost and Mills neighborhood paved, and they're in the final throes of fixing that, as well as on National City in Arcadia, which is also Ward 5 neighborhood. And then we did Old Oracle Road over by the Tucson Auto Mall. Those projects are all now complete. Projects that are currently underway, South Park neighborhood, that's a repaving project south of 22nd Street. Cherry Avenue and Altadena Heights, that's over by, just basically to the west of the post office. Vista del Rio and Colonia Verde have now started. That started within the last month. Winter Haven, La Madera, and Racquet Club Village, that has also started within the last month. And we have been working on deferred fall surface treatment ADA ramps, basically those ramps that were needed in the Sam Hughes, Miramonte, and Peter Howell's neighborhood. We have additional deferred ADA ramps that we need to do as well. So those will be forthcoming in the future. But the deferred fall surface treatment ramps are underway. In terms of projects that are about to mobilize, we are mobilizing. Amphi Area Neighborhoods, which is the Garden Homes, Pastime Acres, and Sawtail Acres neighborhoods, as well as Kennedy Park Estates. Those are under contract, and we will see them underway this fall. We have one project that has been bid, and it's pending award. It was apparent low bidder was KE&G Construction. It's for the El Rio Acres and Ironwood Ridge Estates neighborhoods. In terms of, this is just a shot of work that was being done in the Garden District. Interestingly, when we repaved the street here, the cross street, several weeks later that erupted in a water leak. And so that's being repaved. I believe it's recently been repaved. In terms of our revenues, our first year, fiscal year 23, we collected $67.99 million. We just recently closed out fiscal year 24. And now this is the total productivity of the half cent sales tax. This is what was collected sent to the city of Tucson from the state. This does not include costs of collection or any interest or other investment increases or decreases costs. We collected $79.344 million through the end of fiscal year 24. By comparison, we had last spring, or actually at the beginning of the year, we had a report from Eller College, Eller Business Research Center. They gave us a forecast for this fiscal year, and they were at 79,109. So we're basically less than a quarter of a million dollars different from what they had estimated, but to the positive of it. We to date now have two full years of collections under our belt. We had at the outset when we were presenting Prop 411 to the voters, we were projecting that the average or that we would collect $74 million over the 10-year life of the, or $740 million over the 10-year life of the program. That would average out to $74 million a year. We are exceeding that presently. So we're about $77.5 million right now is what we're, what we've collected over the first 2 years on average per year. So we're beating the, what was presented to the voters. Within the Better Streets portion of it, or 80% of the funds, that's what we're working with here. To date, our collections have amounted to $124.6 million. So that's just in collections. It's unaudited. It's what the, our distribution reports amount to. And you'll hear more in a moment about where we actually are from Ms. Payne, who's, who's with us this evening. So while I mentioned $124 million, the actual value of what we have revenue is $126.9 million. So there are some investment gains that we have had, interest and the like. Our total of, total value that I have of contracts, change orders, pending awards, I call it the encumbrances, if you will. I have $86.4 million of encumbrances, and we have an unencumbered balance of a little over $40.5 million. So that's our working capital that we're dealing with in terms of upcoming projects. With that, I did distribute to you all the financial program, or basically where we stand. This lists by project the expenses to date. We are showing expenses, expenditures in the Better Streets side of $61.8 million thus far. And that's against that $86 million of encumbrances. So you can see where we're at in terms of the progression. And you can also see the local streets program revenues. Those are inclusive of interest and investments, and as well as the expenses of $126.9 million there. And you can see by project where we've been spending the money. Trudy, I get that right?
Yes. Yes, sir. This looks good.
Good. Thank you. Okay. In terms of phase one, we've now been working through our initial project list, that initial project programs that we did. We have about five projects that are not complete. Three of them are related because of Tucson Water, basically the Myers neighborhood, and Yale Estates and Barrio Viejo. Those three neighborhoods are awaiting Tucson Water modification work. But the and then there are two neighborhoods that are currently under construction. One is the Cherry Altadena neighborhood, and the other is South Park. Those projects are under construction now. Other than that, we are 100% complete on the roadway element or the roadway projects within the initial project list, with the exception of some small surface treatments that basically preservation projects. So we're largely done. Moving on into phase one. These are the projects that we currently have underway or are recently finished. First, I'll talk about the recently finished projects. We finished work in the Rita Ranch area. That was done this spring. It was surface treatments. We have finished and are in now basically utility adjustments in National City Arcadia, which is right here. Basically just west of the Rodeo neighborhood. We have finished Coronado Heights. That was done last fall. And we have finished the Mills neighborhood, which is next to Limberlost neighborhood, which Limberlost was phase, what was the initial, was an initial project list project. We did it together with the Mills neighborhood because we could, and we're looking at trying to build better, bigger, better projects. So those are the projects that are now complete. We also did some surface treatment work in the Savano neighborhood, basically the east side of Savano and some of the neighborhoods to the south of Drexel. And we've done some work down in the Sycamore Heights neighborhood as well, which is down in this area. So those were done this spring. In terms of projects that are currently under contract, we have the La Madera and Winter Haven and Raca Club neighborhoods right in here. We have Vista Del Rio over here. These are both projects that have now started and are now underway. With Vista Del Rio, we also have Colonia Verde, which is a townhome community that is just to the north of the shopping center, if you will, at Sabino Canyon and Tanque Verde, and to the west of Vista Del Rio. In terms of projects that are awarded and are starting, we have the Amphi area neighborhoods, Sawtail Place, Pastime Acres and Garden Homes neighborhood, as well as Kennedy Park Estates. Those are awarded, and both of those are the same contractor, Tucson Asphalt. And they've given us their, issued the notice to proceed on the one, and the other one we're expecting to go to construction later in the fall. In terms of projects that are in award or bidding, this is the El Rio neighborhood and Ironwood Hills. Ironwood Hills is the neighborhood to the west of Mission Road here, or Silverbell rather, and then the balance of this is the El Rio area, basically surrounding the El Rio golf course. The big one, this is our biggest project to date, is in Rolling Hills. And we've got Mike's showing you the map of what the Rolling Hills neighborhood looks like. This project, when you add the collector streets in there, which are the streets on the left side of the map there, basically 29th and Prudence. We have Kenyon and Sarnoff. Those are collector streets. Those are in the bid package. All the streets that are in blue are in our base bid, and we believe we'll be able. We have the streets in red are at alternate. Those streets are in a little better condition, not a lot better condition. We could go with them as either a mill and fill or surface treatments. If we get a good price on the mill and fill, we'll go ahead and do mill and fill for that. So, but that program is probably about, we're estimating it, our engineers' estimates, which have been running high, are in the neighborhood of about $17.5 million for the combination of the collectors and the base bid and alternate for the neighborhood. So that opens on Thursday. So I'm hoping for a good weekend. Mm-hmm. But that is in procurement right now. In terms of projects that we're looking at for surface treatments, there is a neighborhood on the east end of the Vista Del Rio neighborhood called the Enclave. The pavements are not in as bad a condition there. We are going to be doing a surface treatment in that neighborhood, and we're coupling that with work in Catalina Heights and the Rose Hill neighborhood. So those neighborhoods are in our initial project for the fall. We're adding to it the Rincon Heights neighborhood. The Rincon Heights neighborhood is one. It's basically bounded by Oracle. I'm sorry, Euclid on the west, Campbell on the east, Sixth Street on the north, and Broadway on the south. That neighborhood. We initially thought we'd like to do mill and fill in there. We were reviewing that with Tucson Water. Tucson Water has informed us that their pipelines are shallow, less than 3 feet in cover. They're not in a situation where they would be at risk they're not having leak problems right now, and the age is such that they think that they that they can continue to utilize them without the need to replace them because of their age. But if we were to go in and do mill and fill, we'd probably force their ruptures throughout the system. So what we've opted to do is do multiple layers of surface treatment in there. Interestingly, 9th Street goes through there, and we did that successfully last year. It's still looking in very good condition. So we believe that treatment will be successful in that neighborhood. So that's what we're proposing there. The other surface treatments that we're looking at doing include Saddlewood Ranch, a little bit of the west side of Ironwood Ridge. We'll be looking at doing work in Enchanted Hills and Oak Park at Midvale. Those would be our fall surface treatments. And I'm right now in the process of reviewing proposals from the contractors on that. So that is something that we hope to get underway and have done this fall. Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just was curious. Rincon Heights, Highland goes through Rincon Heights?
Yes.
And it's not a collector. Is it going to get paved as part of this?
I have that on the list of projects. That would be part of the program.
It's fantastic. So.
Do you anticipate any issues with Oak Park and Spectrum?
With the shopping? No, I'm not anticipating that. We actually have Calle Santa Cruz Lane is actually part of one of our collectors that we're doing, and that will be a mill and fill. And we'll be adding some, and you'll hear about that in a moment. So these are some images from the work that we were doing in Rita Ranch. That was a project that took us a while. We had a lot of we had to go back and do a fair amount of work, touch-up work. We had a number of unforeseen conditions. In fact, we started sweeping one cul-de-sac, and it turned out to be a cul-de-sac that we had to excavate 4 feet of soil out of because it just kept coming up. It was in pretty rough shape. But we've now worked through the issues, done the cleanup work, and we now consider that project complete. These are projects that we are in active development on. These are projects that have already been turned over to our consulting engineer to develop bid packages for. We've got them pretty well spread around the community. We've got a couple of very small projects. These are the ones smaller ones that are in red. We've got the Indian Trails neighborhood up here, just two streets, but in really bad shape. We also have the crossings up in this neighborhood that are in bad shape. We will be adding, and it's not shown in here, but the back streets and the auto mall. We had originally thought we were going to be able to do that as surface treatments. They won't work with that. So we've withdrawn that, and that will be part of a mill and fill project. We've got the area over around Dodge and between Fort Lowell and Grant Road. That neighborhood, together with the next phase of La Madera. Now, mind you, what we're doing is we're trying to follow Tucson Water's work where they're going into neighborhoods and cutting up the neighborhood streets anyway. We're going to follow them and give them a good set of roads. They do smaller projects than we do. So what we do is we look for other opportunities to build nearby projects. And so we can get good pricing on it. And so that's what we're working on in that particular project where we're focusing on Grantland Acres and I think it's Farmington neighborhood is in there along with the next phase of the La Madera project. And we'll try to also, we're also hoping to get Glen Street in on that, but that's another story and we'll talk about that with collectors. We have this neighborhood here is this is El Encanto. We're looking at, currently in design, and we would be looking at, forgetting the neighborhood immediately to the east of it, but it's Elton East or is the
Montevideo? That's to the east of Elton.
Yeah, it may be. It may be. But that neighborhood we're looking at as well. That we're looking at some improvements in that area. We've got a neighborhood that we're dealing with Tucson Water on down here, where they're about to go to construction on a neighborhood here. It is San Paulo neighborhood, and we are looking at going down to the Mortimer neighborhood. And this is Desert View Heights. We'll also be doing some additional work over here that I didn't, this is in the, Los Ranchitos neighborhood. So we're going to continue in that area with, some additional work. Down in Ward 4, we are targeting, we're calling it the Groves. It is, Pine Grove, Olive Grove, Cedar Grove, Lincoln Ridge, and then working in the Hearthstone neighborhood, Hearthstone Hills neighborhood. So those are our projects that we're looking at. And I will look at the neighborhood over here as well. This is the one that we've heard from the residents on today and see if there's an opportunity to do it. So, if I can get projects that are where I'm doing work in close proximity and the bigger I make the project, the better the price per square yard. So
does that large blue or that large black circle, does that butt up against Rolling Hills?
Rolling Hills is here.
Uh-huh.
So the neighbors that we've heard from this evening are kind of in between.
Okay.
So this neighborhood right in here is Banana Grande. This neighborhood right here we did. This is the Dietz neighborhood. Mm-hmm. We have problems with the water lines in this area, so this would be surface treatments. I have not explored what the situation is with water we call it Sutton Place. I think the residents here might be referring to it as Carson Corners, but we will be looking at that.
Great.
We are looking at Riverside Terrace and Menlo Park. That's a project, or those neighborhoods. We actually already have pricing on one of the neighborhoods. So happens that they were. It's the same contractor that is the apparent low bidder as for the El Rio neighborhood. So we may be hitting that area pretty hard. So those are projects that are in active development. They're not under contract yet. But we are developing bid packages right now for them. Now, one of the things that I wanted to kind of talk to you all about is, you know, where are we? You know, where were we? Where are we? This is the map. I think I showed it to you a year and a half ago of what our street conditions were. 81% of our local streets were in poor or very poor condition. And in fact, it was, predominantly very poor. I think we were approaching 70%. Those are the red streets in there. Where we are right now, just by the work that we've completed, both the last two projects of Prop 101, residential, and the work that we've done over the last year, with Prop 411, has changed it to looking like this. So we've got a lot more green. The green means good. Blue means, or green means very good. Blue means good. Yellow is fair. Orange is poor and red is very poor. You can see the impact on the Rita Ranch area. We've done little preservation work just outside of the heart of Savano. This is the neighborhood. These are the projects or the neighborhoods that are going to be getting mill and fill with Rolling Hills. And these are the outlines of the projects that are in El Rio. El Rio and these neighborhoods here are Ironwood Ridge. So those are underway. This blue area, that's the area that's covered by the La Madera, Winter Haven, and Racquet Club Village project that we're underway with. This is the area of of the Empire area neighborhoods. So you can see, where we expect to see things changing. This is, this neighborhood here is South Park, and actually, Cherry Altadena is right in here. We didn't highlight that, but that gives you an idea of where we will see the red turning green shortly. One of the things that I like to do is kind of give you a little bit of an analysis. These are the overall condition indexes that we had in fiscal 23. You know, only 7% of our streets were in very good condition. We're now at 15%. Good, little bit of an increase. Fair, and the reason that we're seeing an increase in good, it's not that we're building things just good, it's that the previously good streets, some of them are declining. Everything's declining over time. So the very good become good, the good become fair. Right now we're neutral in terms of where we are with the fair roads. The poor streets, we saw a decline. And it's not because we're going out and treating poor streets. We're only touching the very poor streets. It's that the poor streets, 2% of the poor streets became very poor streets over the last year. So that's what we're working on. Gives you an idea of how the numbers are changing over time. I don't have a weighted average for you. I'm working on that. But Mr. Aiken?
Is this a same street comparison? Like, meaning we've improved our very good 8 basis points, which is great, except I know that there are several brand new neighborhoods in Ward 4 where the roads are only 6 months old, so of course they're going to be very good. So is this a direct comparison, or is this overall?
I would submit to you that the increase in inventory is negligible when you consider the amount of volume that we've been doing. I would have to talk to Peter. I don't know whether you've added the new neighborhoods in there. They're in there. Yeah. Okay. But, so the new neighborhoods are in there, but in terms of the, I doubt that, there's been 3.3 million square yards of new neighborhood streets going into our inventory. That's what we've worked on over the last year.
The new neighborhoods, the new inventory is just incremental part of this.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. One of the things that we are doing, I mean, this is a lot of work to keep this up. One of the things that Peter and I have been working on is looking at ways that we can update these numbers. Peter and his team, Todd's team, are the ones that are out there in the management systems group that are evaluating these streets. It's their charge to keep them up. I have an interest in it because I want to take a look at the various kinds of distresses that are in pavements so I can identify what the best or what I believe the most successful treatments will be. You know, whether I can go with a surface treatment combination or whether I have to do mill and fill. A lot of that's going to be dependent upon what kind of distresses we're seeing in the pavement. So what we've been looking at is using, there's a lot of new artificial intelligence tools that are becoming available to us, one of which we're experimenting with. And I thought I would show you what that looks like. This is an example of a neighborhood or what we've done. We basically drive the neighborhood with the camera on, and the camera will identify the condition. It'll identify distresses. So, for instance, right now where the arrowhead is here, this is on Water Street. And you can see it's on Water Street at 5664 East Water. You can get the latitude and longitude, the date and time that it all took place. You get an idea of what the road surface conditions are. The alligatoring is shown here in pink. Sidewalks are shown in yellow. Block cracking is in gray. I'm not sure whether those are manholes or whether they're filled potholes, but these are the kinds of things that it does. I will tell you this is interesting, But at this point in time, it isn't ready for prime time. It is, we're in need of additional work. Turns out that there are some serious concerns about it. But I thought I would show you what we're looking at right now. This particular application is, I think, cost us $30,000, and you know, in terms of the investment in it, and we've got it for a year to try it out. Pretty reasonable price given the amount of effort that it takes to upgrade these. But to have an automated way to do that, and something that is not relying on subjectivity, it's actually being calculated by a program. If we trust the calculations, then it's something that can be very useful to us. And we're working with the vendor to kind of work through the bugs. It may or may not be something we end up using on an ongoing basis, but I thought I'd share it with you so you see some of the things that we're doing and with this. You know, it's identifying, you know, what this is showing alligator cracking in here as being extensive. No potholes, but they've given it a very low class, it's red, so the worst class of pavement in there, based upon this analysis. So just thought I'd show you this. It's something that we are working with. In fact, Peter and I are on a conference call tomorrow morning with the vendor and talking about issues that we're having with it, whether or not they can fix it.
I just have a quick question. Is there any type of procurement that, in the city that would benefit local firms?
We extensively use local firms. This particular product is not one of them. This product actually originates in, was it
Finland?
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. And it's really been developed in Europe. Part of the problem that we have with it is that they're using European standards. And so they represented to us that they were consistent with ASTM, and we're finding that they're not. American Society of Testing Materials. That's something that we're working through with them. If they can adjust it, maybe we've got something that we can use. There are some distresses that it's not picking up. We need to see if we can live with that or not. So the book's not in on it, but it is useful to me in terms of seeing the kinds of distresses. I can look at that and I can say, you know, this is the extent of distresses. The treatment that I was thinking of using won't work. So I'm going to have to do something more aggressive. But that's my interest in it. The other thing that I'm interested in is seeing that we observe these regularly, particularly in the first years after we do a treatment, to see how fast they deteriorate. So that's something that will help us do a better job of selecting treatments in the future if we know which treatments have better longevity. So that's something that we're working on. And as we are doing a variety of different treatments right now.
I was just curious. Oh, I'm sorry. How does this compare to the whatever you've been using? Like, what are you using now before you started using this AI camera thing? You were using, like, a truck with a laser on it or something? How did that work?
We had used that. That has been released, or it's no longer with us. It was more trouble than it was worth. And what I'm going to ask is Peter to probably describe that. Peter, you okay with that, or you want me to keep going?
That was just before my time. But it was Aram Van, and I think it was in partnership with PAG.
Yeah.
And it turned out, I think, that the maintenance oversight, the calibration, was turning into more of a project than actually collecting the actual data. So.
To give you an idea of the cost, PAG hired a firm to do a one-time evaluation of all of the major roads in the region. We said, okay, and it was expensive. We said, okay, we'd like to have a one-time evaluation of all of our city streets, all of our neighborhood streets as well. What is it going to cost? And it was over $500,000 to collect the data for one time. This program cost us $30,000.
Yep.
I have to be out on the neighborhoods driving the streets anyway to take a look at what I'm going to put down. So having this data is the marginal cost of collection is low. So that's why I was advocating for this. Now, doing it systematically across the city over a period of time, that's another effort. So, and that's where its real utility will be tested, because that's something we need to continue to do on an ongoing basis. Me going out to a neighborhood because I know I need to do some treatments is one thing. Coming out year after year or every 3 years, as the case may be, and collecting the data so we see how the system performs over time is going to be that's quite a commitment of time. Right now, there are kind of two ways that we've looked at it in the past. The first is, and Peter, tell me if I'm misrepresenting this, okay? Correct me, please. But the first is the kind of the gold standard is to use this ASTM standard where you measure all of the different stresses. There's 21 different stresses that can occur, different kinds of distresses that can occur in a pavement. And I would say probably 10 of them happen in Tucson. The rest of them we don't have to worry too much about. But and this program will collect most of the 10. The alternative, this is a time-consuming collection. You have to set out grid areas on every street and go year after year to the same places to measure the same things repetitively over time. You can do it with some, you know, very expensive gear. Or when I was the town engineer for Oro Valley, I hired interns every summer and I had them go out there and count cracks. You know, that's the kind of thing that they have to do. Very labor intensive. When I was at Oro Valley, I had a very small inventory. I could get away with it. Not here. We've got an enormous inventory of roads. We've got 1,500 miles of neighborhood streets. So the alternative is something called a PASER rating. And that's something that was at the University of Wisconsin that had it. University of Wisconsin has – it's basically a visual – evaluation. You can do it more or less from a windshield, but it's evaluating it based on some standards and a rating of between 1 and 10. So you give every street a rating of between 1 and 10 based upon what you think its condition is. Quick and dirty, somewhat subjective. That's the big challenge is how are we bringing people in that are trained consistently to be able to consistently evaluate these things. And you're not quantitatively measuring a crack. You're looking at the street and giving it a number grade. So that's something that I think we'd all like to move beyond, but that's what we can do with our resources. And we even with that, we only get there every few years. Is that fair, Peter?
Yeah. It's a team of two. And I'm out there too collecting data as well. So it's a lot of roadway for a team of two to walk and collect photos, do a proper inspection on as we can. So.
The way we were able to get a lot of the roadway network, the changes that we showed, was that, we, by knowing what the product was, there, you know, we have a reasonably good idea of how it should rate. So we just plug those numbers in for those neighborhoods that we treated. Where we haven't been to a neighborhood, there's an algorithm that they've developed that basically looks at a decline rate over time. So that's how we project year after year what it is. So it's art and science, and we'd like more science.
Cool. Thank you.
You bet. Sorry if I went too deep into that. I'm from Nevada.
No, that's interesting.
Okay. Well, then I will hustle. Okay. That's it for problem. Okay. Any questions? Okay. And I will move on to
collectors.
All right. Collector Street update. Okay, we're familiar with Old Spanish Trail. That has been recently improved. You can see the before and after pictures there. Streets that, where we're at in terms of construction progress on collectors. Sixth Avenue from Thoroughbred to Drexel Road, done. Old Spanish Trail, Broadway to Harrison, done. Star Pass, Players and Players Club Drive, paving's done, finalizing the work. Greasewood, Ironwood Hills to Speedway, sidewalk and curb ramps and surface treatments are done. Tucson Boulevard, 22nd Street to 6th. Paving is done. I think they have a ramp to do over at the Arroyo Chico. Yeah, sir.
Any plans from 6th Street to Speedway to mill and repave that?
Almost done.
Almost done?
Yeah, I'll tell you about that here next.
Yeah, very good.
Under construction, Tucson Boulevard, 6th Street to Grant. And did that, grooving that under, along with Elm. You should expect Elm to be repaved in October during the away game week at Texas Tech. So we are aware that that's close to the university, and then the Tucson Boulevard will likely go following that. There's a lot of work on Tucson Boulevard for curb access ramps. So what you're going to see is a lot of curb and intersection work in the short term. One of the things that we know that the Fleet Streets Coordinating Council wants to do is they want to add in sidewalk. We're building the substrate for them. So we'll get the curb access ramps done, and they'll fill in the gap with some of the sidewalk work that's anticipated in the future. Elm Street, just for your information, we're going to have, when we're under construction, when we're doing the paving, we're going to have to shut it down and make it one way while we mill and repave the one side of the street, and then we'll flip the direction. This should only take 3 to 4 days to do the Elm Street paving. But it is in front of the Arizona Inn, so it is, you know, we are mindful of how we're impacting the community out there. The reason that Tucson Boulevard has taken was not done at the same time as we did have a water line that Tucson Water was concerned with. You may have, if you were driving Tucson Boulevard, you may have noticed that there was a lot of construction work in the center of the road. We were actually doing potholing to find out how deep it was. It was a 1940s vintage cast iron water line in there that has joints made out of lead and oakum. If we, that's one of those things that we put too much compactive effort on it, we break those joints, geyser. So that was the concern. We did end up finding that we had enough cover on it to be able to support the work, and we are going to be laying down the asphalt in two lifts and doing static rolling instead of a deeper lift of asphalt and compaction with vibratory equipment. So that's the way we'll get it done and keep the water lines protected. And where are we at here? Hang on, I'm trying to find my cursor. Where did it go? Maybe I'll just, I'll use the wheel. Greasewood. Resurface from Ironwood Hills to Speedway. You can see a photograph of that. We address the gaps in the sidewalks with safety funds. So this is a way that we're layering in funds that the Complete Street Coordinating Council is making available to us. And so that was done together. These are the projects that we have in the program. The ones that are imminent. Everything that's in either a red or a dashed red color is going to get done. But the ones that we're working on right now are called out. So you see the Tucson Boulevard projects in Elm. You can see Kenyon and Sarnoff, Old Spanish Trail, Prudence and 29th Street. Those are Spanish Trail's done, but the others are out to bid presently with the Rolling Hills project. Sixth Avenue, Thoroughbred to Thoroughbred to Drexel. That's been done. That was done by Tucson Water. We're looking right now at some other work in the area. Calle Santa Cruz, over next to the Spectrum is going to be done from Irvington down to Valencia. So that is in design presently. We're waiting for soil samples right now. Once we have that, we should be ready to go to bid. And then Star Pass and Players Club, as I mentioned earlier, is finished. Projects, well, yeah, I'm not going to other projects. These are projects that are layered projects. I'm not managing these. These are being managed by a colleague of mine. Elvira Road, Plumber to Palo Verde in design, but it's got water issues. They're doing the, that's going to be a water mods project. Flowing Wells, Miracle Mile, and to Grant and Glenn, Flowing Wells to Oracle. Like another project in design, mostly done, water mods needed. It's, we're waiting water. Euclid 18th Warehouse in Cherry. Design's underway. I believe there are going to be some water modifications on that. Silver Lake, Cherryville, and Fairland, 90% plans. And then Bilby Road, we're at 60% plans, and that's another one that also has water mods. And that's a very complicated project. It's got a lot of layers on it, and that's in design.
Bilby where?
What's that?
With what part of Bilby?
Not
Word for Bilby.
Country Club to...
Country 12?
It's about all of it. Country Club to I-19. I'll tell you what, we'll look at the map.
That's right. I was just like, my part is fine.
Oh, hey, I got my cursor back.
What am I part?
Well, I thought I had my cursor back. Yeah. There it is. Let's see.
Okay.
Bilby is, yeah, that's.
Word one. Cool.
Yeah. On over to Country Club. So, yeah.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah.
Because there was an article in the paper that ADOT's going to do an interchange on Country Club and I-10.
Correct.
They're going to move that traffic to Country Club versus Palo Verde, so that's going to need a major roadway work there.
Yeah, there's a lot of work that's coming down with ADOT. They're also going to, once they finish Country Club, they'll move to Keno. And so it's going to be a lot of work on I-10. East of the downtown area.
With that perspective, that's just that one stretch of I-10, $600 million. Imagine what we could do with that on our local streets. I mean, it's
mind-boggling, isn't it? Yeah, that's, we're looking at, $600 million, that's about what we were projecting for the local streets program. 590 of the 740 that was going to be generated by Prop 411.
But at least we'll get a couple lanes on I-10 out of this, so worth it. Worth it.
And these are the projects that are currently being bid in the Rolling Hills area. Glen Street, I mentioned that. Actually, it's probably mischaracterized as being prepared for bid. It's actually in design. Mm-hmm. We're beginning the design process on it. So that's probably a year out at least. What I'd like to do is I'd like to do that along with the next phase of La Madera so we can get big projects together so we can get good unit pricing on things. Recent activity, one of the things that the Complete Streets Coordinating Council did was they looked at our, as you know, we've been going back and forth with the Complete Streets Coordinating Council on the collector program. One of the things that they've done is they've identified their safety program. This is, these are the projects that they've decided that they were, that were lower priority and that they're going to decline to put additional investment in at this time. So these projects have been released to me. So I will be then working on doing mill and fill projects on those. So typically when we look at those, we're looking at 3 inches or more of asphalt removed and replaced so that we can get a good riding surface on it. And those can go fairly quickly, and that would be my objective is to get those done fast. And this is where we stand right now. In terms of our collector program construction contracts, I put in cost per square yard. And I did that because I wanted to kind of talk to you about, when we do these projects that are kind of, fast and the ones where we just go in and do them really quickly, We had estimated when we gave you the program and said this is the list of what we think we can do, it was based on $58 a square yard for the roads. Our projects, when we've been doing these 3-inch mill and fill types of projects, we're looking typically at somewhere in the mid-30s, mid to upper 30s per square yard. So what we're doing is we're creating some capacity for some of the more complicated projects that will be coming down the road. We know that the ones that are in design with the water mods will probably have a lot of additional things that need to be done to them. So they will not be as inexpensive as this batch of projects will be. We currently are estimating the cost of the collectors being done with rolling hills at about $5.4 million. Works out $36.50 a square yard, more or less. That's our estimate. We hope to beat that. I'm anticipating a very strong bidding response. I've heard from a lot of people that want to go after this project. This is the biggest one we've done to date, so at least under the 411 and Collector Street program. So I'm looking forward to being able to report to you how we fared when we meet again. So anyway, mind you, we've got about $15 million a year that's available to us. Where we're at, spending a little over $13.7 million so far, at least in terms of the projects that we've done with the 411 team. So that concludes my presentation. Happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah.
You're amazing. All right. Do we have an update for the Complete Streets Coordinating Council beyond what you just
did? Real briefly, I know we distributed the package of the safety projects. Brian has shepherded those through the Complete Streets Coordinating Council, and Ryan, you want to give a brief update?
Sure. I gave a brief update. So yeah, so in the packet, I believe there was a summary of the street safety improvements plan, which has those layered buffer projects that Jim mentioned, along with several other projects. So we worked with the CSCC and the subcommittee to kind of shape that plan, and it was approved officially a few weeks ago. So we are trying to hit the ground running. Out of the 7 collector projects, 5 of them were already working on scoping those and hopefully getting design on those started pretty soon. And as Jim mentioned, there's the others that are the pavement-only improvements. We don't have an August meeting, so we don't have a meeting this week. In September, we're looking at requesting approval for the traffic signal improvement component of the street safety improvement plan. That was the one thing that was not included in the approval. And there will also be an update on the Safe Streets mini-grant as well, which so far... there are 10 that have been approved so far. 6 have already been installed. You can see updates on the Better Streets, Safe Streets page on the Tucson Delivers website.
So those mini grants are not part of this packet here? They're on the website?
Correct, yeah. So that's kind of a separate thing. It has an application process, and that's an ongoing thing as well. So if you or anybody you know is looking for traffic safety improvements, traffic calming in the neighborhood, that's something that anyone or any neighborhood can apply for. And there's way more applicants than we're able to fulfill, in the short term, but it is, a 10-year program like the rest of Prop 411.
Any questions?
No.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
I would just say this is an interesting read if you haven't had a chance to read. Listing up projects involved.
Thank you. All right. Utility coordination update.
Madam Chair, don't have a whole lot to add. I think we had a pretty robust conversation about the water issues. I would tell you that if you were to look at, I think I distributed this page out to everybody. Mm-hmm. This is my comprehensive list of all projects on Prop 411 Phase 1. You will note that In the scheduled start column, in many cases, I have notations related to Tucson Water, and I can tell you that of the 39 projects that we'd identified as potentially mill and fill in our initial batch of projects, 20 of them had originally been identified by Tucson Water as being ones they wanted us to hold on. A significant number of those have been released. So some things that we are going to be doing with Tucson Water, one of which is we're actually going to be doing some work for Tucson Water. There's, I know in the Jefferson Park neighborhood, right around the Ward 3 offices, in fact, just to the south of the Ward 3 offices is Edison Street, and Edison's got leaky water lines. And I'm working with Tucson Water to replace the water lines for three blocks as a part of the 411 project. They will be paying for it. I will be managing it. And that way we can keep this project moving. So that's something that we're looking forward to. I hope to have that project under construction around the first of the year. So that's something that we're working on. Coming up with some new policies. One of the big rubs that Tucson Water has with us is whenever we pave a street, we put a moratorium on it. And so, nobody can cut the street for 3 years, without having to do an enormous repaving effort. You know, it's kind of the pain penalty for cutting my brand new street. We've been working with them in some cases. We have accidents that happen, emergency repairs that we can't avoid, particularly where we've got these water lines that we pave over and 6 weeks later we find a leak. You can't necessarily say that it's absolutely our fault, but the likelihood is that we may have contributed to it. And so putting a penalty on them for paving is unfair, and we're working to relieve them of that. So a lot of conversations going on between us and Tucson Water to try to improve the working relationships. The staffs are getting along really well, which hasn't always been the case. So we're trying to make sure that everybody's working positively together. And we need to bend over backward a little bit to keep things moving. I'm inclined to do that. So that's what we need to do to keep these projects underway and turn potential adversaries into advocates.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to say, after we had our conversation about the letter, it seems like, a recurring theme is that, almost every project is having some impact on water. But the one thing that kind of made me think we might want to include this in the letter is not just that products or projects are being delayed, but also it's affecting the professional judgment of what treatments can be done. So like you were saying in Rincon Heights, you would prefer to do a mill and overlay because I think I heard that because it's terrible pavement. It's old, old, old. And yet, instead of doing that, you guys are being forced to what is not going to last as long, these surface treatments. And I just think that might be something to include in the letter, just saying that it's not only impacting deliverability, it's impacting the quality of the work because, they're just going to have to repave that neighborhood in 15 years instead of 25 or 30. So, I mean, I think that has an impact as well.
Yeah, and one of our hopes is that by putting these other pavement treatments down, the life of the pavement treatment more or less matches up when they have the opportunity to do the repiping. So if we can coordinate that, and that's kind of one of the objectives is to forestall some of these improvements so that they can manage the cash flow a little better. So, but there is definitely, we're trying to build scaffolding between silos, so to speak.
Dale, did you have your hand up? No? Okay.
No, I was just scratching my ear.
Okay. with that, it looks like we are at future meeting dates and agenda items. Does anybody have anything that they would like to have included on the next agenda? for discussion?
Madam Chair, would a draft of the letter be appropriate?
Depending on when we get meet again, for sure.
Yeah.
I would think so.
I disagree with that.
So a draft of the letter. And do we want to meet in a month? 2 months? Yeah.
Your pleasure.
I'd ask how... Probably 2 months is probably more like it because there's more happening. I mean, we don't want to be. We've been finding quarterly. Now we've postponed in July, so maybe we go back to 2 months. I don't know whether staff can be ready with much of anything by that point.
We'll have a lot to talk about.
All right. So
we're gonna say 2 months.
Great, perfect. So we'd be looking at early November? Is that accurate?
October 28th is two months.
October 28th. Any conflicts still? Good for me too. Okay, so the 28th. Thanks.
Yeah, we'll see if we can make sure the room's available.
Okay, with that, thank you so much to the staff. Your diligence is really appreciated, and your thoroughness. Thank you so much. Appreciate you, and thank you to commissioners as well, and. I think we'll call for an adjournment, yeah?
Thank you.
Great. Thank you all so much.
Thanks.
Yeah, that big painting is